One is has an interesting passage in it. It begins in verse number 20. The theme of the book kind of changes, of the chapter changes a bit. The first 19 verses are warnings from the father to his children. Warnings from the fathers to the children. And tonight, God willing, we're going to look at verse number 17. And maybe if you look at, if you're familiar with this verse, this chapter, you would notice that verse 17 is an analogy. It's a warning to children, verse 17 is. And all the verses around it revolve around verse 17. Now, verse number 20 says this, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, the place of traveling where people are. In the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words." And here's what she says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated the knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Well, these are interesting words. The Lord Himself is saying there will be a mockery made of those who have refused His counsel. That's the passage we want to look at this morning. And let's pray together. Father, I pray that You would add the double blessing to the reading of Your Word. These words are very true. These words are very poignant. These words are very wonderful. And I pray, Father, that we'll be able to point out all these things this morning to ourselves and to our brothers and sisters. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a peculiar thing that takes place here. It's kind of the word "she." She crieth in the chief place of concourse. Like wisdom has a personality. And it's my idea that wisdom is the Lord. That wisdom is God speaking. That this is the voice of the Lord. That He is crying out. That He is saying to people. He is calling people to the right way. He is calling people to the way of blessing. That He is calling people to the way of safety. That He is calling people to the way of prosperity. That this is the voice of the Lord. Now, the word "she" there is an interesting thing. We find the same female, feminine pronoun used in the book of Isaiah, where it talks about a lamb being led to the slaughter, and it says that she uttereth not a sound. Uttereth not a sound. Because the Bible stays true to type. True to type every time. The male lamb, when he is taken to the slaughter, he bawls. He makes a lot of noise. But the female lamb, the ewe lamb, when she is taken to the slaughter, she never makes a sound. She's very quiet. And so the Bible, in its accuracy, stays true to type. It's an incredible thing to consider, the accuracy of the Word of God. Now, here in this passage, I want to introduce a few things to you, if I can. First of all, what's God's motivation for crying to people? What's God's motivation for calling people to come to Him? Why is He saying to people who are doing bad, who are living bad, who are choosing a false way, why is He crying to them? Why is He saying, "Come to me"? Why is He in every place? Why is he in the concourse where everybody can hear? Why is he in the gate where the prominent people are? Why is he calling to people? Why is he calling to them? Because of his love that he has for mankind. Never forget that God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Not the creation, not the ball, not the sphere, not the makeup and the mountains and the valleys and the trees and the seas. God loves man. God loves the men who dwell upon this planet. And God loves them no matter how bad they are, no matter how sinful they are, God loves them. He loves them deeply. He loves them so deeply that He's not only calling them to come to Him, He loves them so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for them. The love of God, rich and pure, how merciful and strong. Why is He calling? Because He loves them. Why does He call with such urgency? Why is He everywhere calling to people? Because He's in a hurry. He wants to save you from being ruined. He wants to save you from being ruined. We say sometimes you got to strike while what's hot, while iron's hot. You got to make hay while you got to. It's urgent. God is urgently calling to every person. He's saying, "Come to me." Now I want you to notice here in verses 20 and 22 what He is doing and what He is saying. He is calling. He is crying. He is shrieking. He is lifting up His voice in the streets. He does not care what people think about what He is saying. He does not care if He looks foolish. He does not care if it is annoying to people. He does not care about anything except getting the message across. He is everywhere crying. Now, sometimes people will say to me, you know, you can say anything you want inside the church. From the pulpit, you can say anything you want, but when you get outside the pulpit, you better be careful how you speak. There's probably a measure of that that's true. I preach loudly, and probably if I meet you on the street, I'm not going to shout at you as loudly as I preach to you. You know, there may be a volume that's appropriate. But God is calling. And He doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care what idea they get in their mind. He wants them to hear His message. And He's everywhere. He's crying. He's crying to fools. He's crying to the lost. And He's saying, "Come to me." He's everywhere. He goes to where everyone is. Notice that He goes to the street. He goes to where people are at, trying to get them to hear it. He goes to the chief places. He goes to the high places where He can be heard, where His voice can be projected across the city, where people can hear Him. But too often, Christian people, we do the opposite of this little light of mine. This little light of mine, what are we supposed to do? Let it shine. Hide it under us. No. I'm going to let it shine. But what do? We hide it under a bushel. Or we put it under a dimmer. We want to be bright, but not too bright. We don't want to bother people. My grandma, when I was a kid, she believed in high beams only. She kept her high beams on all the time. She would never dim. When you meet somebody with high beams on the road, what do? You flash your light at them, right? And from the smallest time, I remember my dad. And my dad would have his high beams on, and the car would be coming, and they'd flip their lights, and my dad would dim his lights. I said, "Dad, why are you doing that?" He said, "Because my high beams will blind them, you know." And I remember my dad getting mad at people who wouldn't dim their lights. And I remember my grandpa telling me this story. He had a car, I guess back in the 50s, that had headlights, and then on the backs of the mirrors it had lights. You guys remember cars like that? On the backs of the mirrors, the side mirrors had lights on the other side of it. You ever see a car like that? Is my grandpa lying to me? Anyway. He said he was driving down the road and a car was coming towards him and the guy wouldn't dim his lights. And so my grandpa, I guess they were like spotlights maybe. And so my grandpa, he hit the high beams and the spotlights and really lit that guy's world up. And when the guy got to him, he flipped on his police light. Whoop, 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 and gave my grandpa a ticket for not dimming his lights. My grandma, she never dimmed her lights.
We'd ride down the road with her, and the guy would be flashing the lights like crazy. And I'd say, "Grandma, dim your lights." She said, "I ain't dimming my lights." I said, "It's going to blind him. It's going to bother him." You know what she said? "I don't care." Isn't that the way people are sometimes? I don't care. I don't care what they think. So Grandma, they don't think you're a crazy old woman. I don't care. My grandma, sometimes I'd go to Sunday school with her. She'd take us to church. We'd be staying with her sometimes. And she'd say, "Now you got to do this and you got to do that." My grandma, she didn't want us to roll up our shirt sleeves. We had to pull them down and button them. And I hated that. Shirt sleeves are made for what? Roll them up. That's why they're there. You roll them up. You roll them down and wipe your nose and roll it back up. That's what they're for. And she said, "You got to roll them down." I mean, my mom sometimes would make me, I remember, for a time, she didn't want me to wear cowboy boots to church. You had to wear dress shoes. And so she bought me some dress shoes, and she put them in my closet. And every Sunday morning, I'd put my boots on. And she'd say, "Go put those dress shoes on." I said, "Mom, but I'm going to look silly." And she'd say, "I don't care how you look. I don't care what you think. I don't care. Well, people are going to laugh at me. I don't care. People are going to look at me funny. I don't care." The Lord does not care what people think about Him or His message. He doesn't care. He wants you to hear that message. He wants you to hear the truth of the gospel. Because His message is life-changing. His message is important. And so He takes this message to every place, to the gates, to the chief places, to where the people are gathered, and He says, "This is my message. Come to me. Listen to me." He doesn't care what people think. He's urgent. Now in verse 23, he says, "Here's what I want you to do. Those who hear my voice," it's not just enough that they hear the volume. He wants them to hear the message. Look at verse 23. He says, "I want you to turn." Turn you at my reproof. This word "turn you" here is the word. The word is shub in Hebrew. It means to repent. It means to turn into a different path. To go into the way of wisdom. To be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Notice verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." He is saying it's a gospel appeal. He's saying, turn from the foolish way. Turn from the path of sin and turn to me. And when you turn to me, I will give you my Spirit. I will give it to you. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, He gives you the Holy Spirit. And He lives within you. And you have a new resident. And He changes things. He molds you and makes you. It's an undeniable presence. Turn at my reproof, and I will pour out to you. You see, there's a condition here. Though He loves man, though He is calling to men, the men have to respond. They have to turn to Him. Turn to me, and I will give you my Spirit. And I'll not only give you my Spirit, I'll help you to understand my words. I'll help you to know the truth. I want you to know these words. This is what He wants us to do. This is God's call to you. This is God's call to the world. Turn unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Now, in verses 24 through 32, we have the consequences. The consequences. My dad would say sometimes, "You'll obey me or else." What was the else? It depended. The else could have been any number of horrible tragedies that might befall me. The else. Here the Lord says, turn to me or else. Else. Now these next few words are scary words. Because I called and you did not listen to me. Because I stretched out my hand and you ignored me. Ye have set at naught, ye have counted as nothing all my counsel. You'd have no part of my instruction. Because you ignored me. Because you said I will not turn. Because you said that's the fool's way. Because you denied me. I will laugh at your calamity. That word calamity means trouble. I'll laugh at your troubles. Because if you live a life without God, if you do not put God at the center part of your life, that's exactly what it will bring to you. Trouble. Trouble. Ignore the Lord. Ignore the Lord's way. Woe will come upon you.
following the way of sin, seeking after the pleasures of sin, will bring you sorrow in your life, trouble. Lots of trouble. And because you did not listen to me, he says, I will laugh at your trouble. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, this is the God of love saying this. How can he say this? Because he's a just God. He says to you, you can do what you want to do. I said it last Sunday, I think. You can do what you want to do. And you're going to suffer the consequences of it. Live how you want to live. Say what you want to say. When I was a boy, MC Hammer said, I'm going to play how I want to play, live how I want to live, and dance how I want to dance, and I'm going to kick and slap my, guess what? Friends. What a curious song. Of course, is rap music, is it really a song? Or is it just a poem? It's a poem set to words. What do you call a poem set to words? I mean, a poem set to music. It's a song, isn't it? Everybody's on the holiday break already in their minds. What will happen? Because you have refused, I'll laugh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, you'll call to me and I won't answer. I won't answer you. You'll say, God save me, God help me. And I won't do it. I won't do anything. I'll let you swing. This is harsh. This is tough. Isn't it true though, sometimes you have to let people suffer the consequences of their actions? You don't want to. You want to lessen the blow, but you got to let them hurt. Got to let them hurt. When I was a kid, man, I got tickets from the police, you know, for speeding and various things. And my dad, he never paid one ticket. My dad told me if I ever got arrested, he would never bail me out. And none of my friends had money, so I never got arrested because I don't want to be there forever. He let me suffer! I remember the first night I came home with a speeding ticket. I waited till 2 days later to tell my dad about it. And luckily, it was in another county, so he couldn't see it in the newspaper because they put them in the paper, you know, every day or every week, whatever it was. He said, here's the ticket, Dad. He said, you got to pay. You're paying for all tickets. When I got a car, he said, you pay for all. I had a car wreck and mashed up my car, and I still owed a debt on it. I mean, I was paying on a wrecked car because I just had liability on it. You know, how smart is that? When you buy a car, get insurance that will pay it off when you wreck it. I learned that the hard way. I had liability. I wrecked it. I had a debt on a wrecked car. I said, Dad, what am I going to do? He said, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm not paying for it. He let me suffer. And sometimes this is what people need. They need to suffer the consequences of their actions. In this great country of ours, we have a horrible thing that we do is we want to bail everybody out. You make a bad decision. You make bad business choices, we're going to bail you out. We're going to help you to recover that way you can not learn your lesson. Suffering. Suffering is the best teacher. There was a man, it was him and his wife, not his wife, they just lived together. They came here for a time, they sit right behind Edith. They came probably for a month maybe. And he called me one day and said, Pastor Terry, you're just awesome. Which is true, amen. You're just awesome. We just love your preaching. And our lights got shut off this week. And would you give us the money to get them turned back on? And I said, no. He said, let me make a few phone calls. So I called the power company and I asked them. I said, you know, give these people a few days. You know, but they don't want to. They didn't really care. I didn't own the account. I just thought maybe I could make. I called and made some calls. I said, I can't do it. I can't help you. And he came up there to the house one night. And he knocked on the door. Knocked on the driveway. And he said, man, I got to get my power. It's going to be turned off tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Please, please give me some money so I give it to him today so I don't shut it off. He said, I'll have the money in 2 days. And I'll get it turned back on. But I still have the money for tomorrow. I say, well, one, I didn't have any money to give him. One. Two, I said, well,
probably if you sit there in the dark for 2 days, you won't let that happen again. He was not happy with that. You wouldn't have been happy with it either. Probably if I'd had the money, I would have helped him out. I felt sorry for him. But sometimes people have to suffer the consequences of their choices. It's the only way to get it out of them. The Bible says that the rod of correction drives foolishness out of people's hearts. And sometimes it's not the rod of correction of an authority striking them. It's just the correction of circumstances. Circumstances correct us. Tomorrow is Labor Day. On 2 Labor Days in my life, I've gotten a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt. 2 different Labor Days. Guess what I'm going to wear tomorrow all day? I'm wearing my seatbelt. Because one seatbelt ticket in Texas was $140. A ticket here in Arkansas is a little bit cheaper. It's $30 in Hope. I've suffered. I'm not going to let it happen again. And the Lord, He says, when your distress comes upon you, you laughed at me, you mocked me, said, I'm not going to listen to you, God. I won't even answer you when you call. You'll try to find me, but I'll hide myself. And it's not just because I'm being mean. Look at verse 29. I'm going to do it. The word for means because. I'm going to do it because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I'm going to do this because you did not heed my voice. I'm going to do this. I'm going to let you suffer because you did not listen to me. They would have none of my counsel. They despised, they held in low esteem, they dissed all His correction. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, filled with themselves. I want you to understand something. There will come a time when the grace of God will come to an end. God's grace and God's mercy does not last forever. There is a general dispensation of grace that we live in now, where God's grace from the Garden of Eden to the Lord comes is a dispensation of grace. We are all able to come to God because He graciously makes the invitation to us. He graciously says, if you will come to me and put your faith in me and turn to me, I will save you. This has been the dispensation of grace since the Garden of Eden. But this dispensation of grace will come to an end. Generally speaking, it will come to an end. But also, it seems to me, there comes an end to an individual's dispensation of grace. Where you can keep saying no to God, no to God, no to God, no to God, no to God. He's calling you, He's tickling your ear, He's pulling on your heart, He's squeezing you. And saying, come to me. He's showing you the error of your way. But you're not coming to Him. And eventually, He doesn't bother us anymore. He quits fooling with them. And lets them suffer. Lets them go. When the individual dispensation of grace comes to an end. And they're left alone. Left alone. There's a verse in the New Testament. For it says that Esau, after he had turned from the Lord, sold his birthright, he tried to get it back, but he couldn't get it back because he could find no place of repentance. Even though he cried and begged, he couldn't get it undone. My friends, I want you to consider this. If you tell God no enough times, if you keep closing the door on the Lord, He's going to leave you alone. And I don't think there's a worse place in the world you could be in than to be left alone by the Lord. Left alone. And you're gone. It's a heavy thing to consider, isn't it? It's frightening! This is why He is urgent. He is urgently seeking the lost. He is urgently crying in every place! Come to me. And that's why you and I should also be urgent as well in our gospel appeals that we make to people. Urgent. Time is of the essence. It must happen now. And then lastly, we can see that this grace, this warning is given. Notice verse 33. This is the way of the Lord. He's crying. He says, I'm crying. He's saying, the day will come when I will laugh and mock at your calamity. But notice verse 33. He basically says, but that day hadn't come yet. That day hadn't come yet. And what does he say? But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You see? He's warning. He's saying, if you do not listen to me, it'll come to an end. But now, if you hearken to me, I'll take care of you. Now, if you listen to me, I'll quiet you from fear. Now, if you'll listen to me, now if you'll turn to me, I'll take you. I'll take you. But whoso hearkeneth, you have to hearken to His voice. You have to heed His voice. You have to respond. You have to take Him as your own. You can't go to church for 20 years. I think on the sign, does it say, Butch, church membership is not an elevator to heaven? Is that what it says on one side? You can come to this church for decades. You can go to any church forever. And it's never going to get you into heaven. You can be good for a long, long time and it won't get you into heaven. It's only when you hear His voice and you take Him as your Lord. When you say, I'm taking your way. I'm taking your leadership. I'm taking your salvation. I'm taking you. I'm taking your hand. I'm taking your path. I'm following you. I'm going to go with you. You're my Lord. Hearkening unto me. Listening to me. Taking up my way. It's a gospel appeal. He's saying, come to me. And if you come to me, you'll dwell safely. And you shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Whoso hearkeneth, anyone who will heed His voice. It's a blessed New Testament truth. Whosoever. Whosoever. Anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a blessed truth. Anyone. If they'll call upon Him. He's calling now. He is searching for you. Will you say, here am I? If we're at Walmart, do you remember back in the day when they had the little cart with a light that would... I think my mom worked at 3D. It was Driscoll's department store. And they had blue light specials. And then does Kmart have blue light specials too? Does anybody know? Did Walmart used to have them too? No? And some of these stores, they had this little cart with a little woman. And she'd go to one section of the store where they had the junk they couldn't sell. That's what it was. Stuff they couldn't get rid of. And it was already marked down. And they would say, they come over to the PA system and they would say, we're having a blue light special in cosmetics. Everything in this little deal was like 50% off. And people would flock to it. You know, and that woman, she'd be, man, she'd be marking stuff down. And they'd hear that voice and they would go to it. They'd go to it. If we put a loudspeaker up here, we don't really cover a lot of hope right here, but we put up a loudspeaker and started saying every 20 minutes, free beer! Free! We'd get people coming. News would travel. It'd travel fast, wouldn't it? We'd be inundated with people. People want to hear. And people who did hear would get other people to come. And this is the Lord. He is calling. He is saying, come to me. And when you hear His call, you hear the voice of the Lord. You go to Him. And you take up His way. When you come to Him and He says, come to me. And you come to Him and what do I have to do? What do I need to do? Follow me. Follow me. Repent. And be baptized and follow me. Follow Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved as can be. You're born again and you're going to be heaven when you die. You have no doubt about it. That same voice is calling you again and again because prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart now taken, seal it to that courts above. We wander away from Him. And He's calling to you, the wayward child. You may be here physically, but not here mentally. Not here spiritually. And He's saying to you, come to me. Follow me. Follow my way. live the way I say, live the way I teach, or else. Let's pray together.